You're gonna be washing your hair. You're gonna be like, oh shit, it's tingling, it's working. This shit gonna be eating your brain.
Grandma's gonna slip and fall in the shower for different reasons.
Oh man. The human race is hopeless.
Oh yeah.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod Is War. Pod Is War is brought to you by Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And make sure you guys use your head and do the smartest thing you could do this week is go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official ChairShot merchandise. We've got t-shirts of all colors, all shapes and sizes for everybody from infant to 80, blind, crippled, or crazy. Join the movement. Big part of the movement, ladies and gentlemen, please and thank you. Again, this is Pod Is War, where we try to give you erudite and intelligent discourse on the wild world of professional wrestling. But ultimately, it just devolves into two drunks talking shit. Thank you.
I like that word.
Thank you. You guys know me.
You're not going to spell it, are you?
Fuck no. Spelling, hey, man. Spelling is the one tool least associated with intelligence, all right? So go fuck yourself. Anywho, my name is Chris.
Well, hey, I'm good.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe. They also taught you to eat an apple instead of a candy bar. And joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. Howie Lush, a.k.a. Chucky Sleaze, Mr. Andrew Belaz.
We love Chucky Sleaze!
Well, you know what? I can't complain too much because this is better than the first couple of shows we did when you kept saying I had a white panel van parked somewhere in the living room or whatever it was. I guess I'll sort of take the upgrade. It's an upgrade? I think it's an upgrade.
Chucky Sleaze is where kids should stay away.
I don't know. That ball pit is a lot of fun. Do you want to come into my ball pit?
I'm sure. Not so much, bro. Thank you. I got two of my own. I'm comfortable with them. And also joining us today is PC Tunney, a.k.a. What? Redneck Willie.
Fuck you. And hello, everyone.
No, thank you. You're not my type, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Buenos noches. Yo soy PC Tunney. Gracias.
Si.
Really? Really?
See?
We're multilingual, you know. We like to not only offend multiple different people, sometimes we play to them. Scream at us in different languages. Somebody will figure it out.
Okay. Cállate la boca, balls.
Si, cabrón.
I'm with the show.
Fair enough. Anybody else got anything else they want to get off their chest before we get to the topics here?
Yeah, if you are not doing yourself a huge favor, please go and check out Freak Slam Spotlight. We got some great interviews. We got one coming up with Funny Bone here. We've already got that in the can. It was a great interview done by Mr. Platt right here. And Big Dave from Attitude of Aggression, who will also be on Chairshot Radio tomorrow. In addition to that, go back and listen to AJ Kirsch and go back and listen to John Allen, interviewed by Greg DeMarco. Two great interviews. Just wanted to plug that real quick. The upcoming show between Freak Show Wrestling and Hood Slam. Freak Slam, June 23rd. Check it out.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And I think I might have low-key talked myself into a match with Funny Bone. I'm not really sure, and I don't really want those issues. But
Exactly. You're gonna die.
Yeah. Delete. He said that too. As delete.
You will be deleted.
Uh-oh.
Like, that's what he said too.
Maybe he can marry you and Amber first before, so she can get the insurance money.
There you go. Up the policy, up the premium.
Hey, this is a house of cards, balls. What's he going to end up with, man? My goddamn WCW fake championship belt and a couple couches?
I mean, the insurance company don't need to know that. You just got to be relatively healthy, and they'll support you. It's fine.
It's a house of cards, balls. It is. At least for the time being.
I gotcha.
Anywho, let's start the show. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
To calm down. Y'all are sounding like the Real Housewives of WWE, all right? Besides, I already know who's gonna win. My mixed match challenge partner, Braun Strowman.
Ooh. All right, boys, we know who Alexa Bliss thinks is going to win one of the Money in the Bank briefcases. Who do you think will bring down each Money in the Bank briefcase, men's or women's?
That's interesting. They should probably run with that, with Alexa Bliss charting around the monster amongst men. You know what I mean? Like, that could make very interesting television. Like, she's just pulling him around by his nose hairs, and she does her bidding. And then after the match, she's just beating the holy hell out of whomever he's fighting, and then she just comes in and rubs him on the back, and she soothes the savage beast. Like, there's some interesting story that you could get out of that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I could see it. And then ultimately, he eats her, and that's how he, you know, turns back face, but whatever.
He eats Alexa Bliss, like, and shits out Sister Abigail.
Oh, good.
Hey, wait a second. I'm bigger than you! And then he just devours her like a bag of M&Ms.
No, he's not big, Cass. He doesn't base everything off of who's bigger and who's smaller. Jesus Christ.
Hey, listen, some people would say there are groceries there.
I'm pretty sure Mr. DeMarco would say there's groceries there.
Speaking of, you're talking about someone eating Alexa Bliss, are you not, Christopher Platt?
Jesus Christ. You know what? I blame this on myself because I didn't see it going in that direction. I really didn't. I was making just a cute little passing joke and trying to get to my point, but that's on me. I know who I'm dealing with. I know who
what?
I'm on the line with.
You're that's usually me. The one that drives it there, talking about you're going to go get some after the show because the rest of us are nerds and you're so much smoother and cooler. And now?
It's the guy that goes
taking
15.
The high road?
It's the guy that goes 15 to 20 over on the freeway all the time, and then he gets in the passenger seat of your car, and he's like, dude, you're going 5 miles over the speed limit. You better slow down a little.
I can't help it. I'm so much smoother and cooler, man. Blame genetics. My dad, rest his soul, was cool as shit. My mom is cool as shit. Like, what you want me to do, man? I'm the whole... This just in. Breaking news. Christopher Platt is the offspring of two cool-ass melon farmers. Back to you, Chip.
Now that was something I wasn't completely expecting, but good job. That was a good bit. I like that one.
Yes, I'm genetically engineered to be better than you all.
So tell me somewhere you have an old Legacy shirt that just says Born Better on the back.
I should. That's actually a really good gimmick, Balls. Thank you for the heads up. That's a good idea.
You're welcome. Yes, I try once in a while.
Well, but, I wish you would try every week. That way we could have a good show.
Yeah, but it's more fun when you think you're winning. That's how this has to go.
Well, I'm always winning, though. Like, that's how this goes.
All right, Mr. Tiger Blood, Charlie Sheen, calm down. Anyway.
Winning. I have that shirt, too. Man. I actually have that shirt. I stopped wearing it because he started taking a couple of L's.
Well, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Like the whole AIDS thing?
I was going to say the whole HIV thing is a pretty big L, yeah.
Yeah. That's the ultimate L.
Yeah. Unless you're Magic Johnson.
True, unless you're Magic Johnson and you're just like magically beating the shit out of it. That's whatever.
Please, Magic Johnson ain't got AIDS. Magic Johnson got financial AIDS. Get the fuck out of here.
So he just needed an excuse to retire early? Jordan just embarrassed him too much? He's just like, I've got HIV, I'm done. It's like, what?
Man, I don't know what happened, but what melon farmer you know gets diagnosed with HIV, he gains 50 pounds and $1 billion in the bank? I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
You know, I was about to say, aside from Magic Johnson, I don't really have I hope not, because that would kill part of his gimmick if he gained 50 pounds.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, man.
Magic Johnson got AIDS like I have a number one song
on the charts, okay? That's just what that is. But we'll get back to the topic here. We're talking Money in the Bank, correct?
Oh, yeah, that was the topic, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you have a winner in mind?
What's our vector, Victor?
Did you have a winner in mind, or do you just want Braun to like throw Alexa Bliss at the briefcase to start off the match, and she just wins, and then he eats her?
That's kind of hot. I'm not gonna lie, that's hot. I'm just really digging this Alexa Braun pairing, man. DVD. It's kind of like ink. I'm just saying, it's kind of like King Kong and Faye Ray. You know what I mean? Like, I like it. It works well. They should go with that, but they won't. I had a winner going into this. Up until this very week, I was convinced that Big E was going to win the Men's Money in the Bank. However, after the happenings on SmackDown, where Samoa Joe took a clean pin to Rusev Day, I'm thoroughly convinced that Samoa Joe is actually going to win the Men's Money in the Bank. Which means if the Men's Money in the Bank is going to be won by a SmackDown participant, it probably lends credence to a woman on the Raw side of the game winning the Women's Money in the Bank. And the only one plausible that I could see is Alexa Bliss. So my two winners as of right now, and it might change in an hour, but I'm going to go Samoa Joe and Alexa Bliss.
Interesting, very, very interesting. But no, I agree about the Samoa Joe because that was my pick.
Well, I was about to say, Okada's not in it, Balls. I'm just saying.
Are you sure? Okada's not the champion anymore. Maybe he's showing up in WWE, Platt. Maybe. Let's ask Meltzer how that's going to work out. Meltzer, is Okada going to be there? Oh, no? Okay. Okay,
never mind. Hey, but I've heard Tokyo might crash.
Yes. Good old Toyota 3K. Toyota 3K.
Tokyo, Jesus. Yeah, Toyota 3K.
Toyota 3K and Kushada might have a match. You never know. Fucking Kushada. Anyway.
It's going to be seven stars.
It will be. Still, I agree about Joe. I kind of had a feeling about Joe anyway, and regardless of who wins, Styles or Nakamura, Joe could probably put on a good match with them. That's kind of where I was going with it. Plus, with how long Carmella held the last briefcase, I don't really think they want another woman's Money in the Bank on SmackDown, because that's a little too close and that went on a little too long. So, I agree Raw's probably getting the women's briefcase, and my whole contention is I think Natalia's going to win it, only because if they give Ronda the strap over Nia, she needs somebody who's good in the ring that can kind of protect her and help her along, because this is going to be kind of trying to validate her title reign and herself being, you know, a decent wrestler, like, you know, top tier superstar. And Natty would make a lot of sense to just throw in there for SummerSlam or something like that. And they don't even have to turn her heel. It could just be the friendly rivalry kind of angle where she's just like, I won, you have the belt, let's do this, let's put on a good show. So I think Natty would be a good one for that one, so she's my pick.
That's interesting, and I always believed that we were heading towards a Natty-Ronda feud anyway because of the reasons you just stated. She's super good in the ring, one of the best workers in the ring, men or woman, and that she'd be able to get a good match out of Ronda and kind of teach her the ropes a little bit. As far as Money in the Bank, I don't know. Like, I always was under the assumption that we were heading toward Natty versus Ronda at SummerSlam. That's one way to get there. But, no. Because I said Bliss, so it's not going to happen.
I like how you didn't even put in effort for why Bliss. You're just like, fuck it, I like her better. Nope, Bliss wins.
Yeah. But she makes sense. She's a heel. Like, you're not going to put it on Sasha. I don't know if they're going to ever advance that Bayley storyline. They need to do something with that. Ember Moon doesn't really need it. She's working her way up, so she'll be just fine. And yeah, the SmackDown women, the only one that has a viable option, well, I could see Becky Lynch, but I don't think that's going to happen. I could also see Charlotte, but I don't think that's going to happen either. I think Charlotte's just going to kind of flounder until Royal Rumble season, and then she wins the Rumble, and then she goes on to fight Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. But I'm going to stick with Bliss. That's my pick.
That works for me, because I agree about the SmackDown girls. Like, honestly, I could see Lana getting a shot or maybe getting the briefcase, because the briefcase holder loses a lot anyway. So it would be
Lana is best.
Lana number one.
Lana number one. I'm done. But still, I think that would work, because it would also help to try to validate her in the ring. Even if she's eaten L, she still has the briefcase, and they're still kind of heelish, even though they're goofy heels. So she could always figure out some kind of shortcut way around Asuka, Carmella, Becky, whoever has it at the time. So Lana's like the dark horse pick for me, but I'm still sticking with Natty.
I hope I'm wrong, though. I just want to end on that note. I pray that I'm wrong, and Big E does actually win the Money in the Bank briefcase. So, but
I mean, he has to be in it first. Did they never declared who actually is in there from New Day, have they?
No, they haven't, and that's smart booking, man. Because, I mean, think about it. If it's a legitimate sports contest, why would you give up the psychological edge that you have on every other competitor in the field?
I ain't saying it's a bad play. I'm just saying that we still don't know which one. So, for all we know, it could be Kofi.
This is why it sucks that New Day's or New Day, rather.
It's not Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, or Tokyo 3K. Or
Toyota 3K. Get your gimmick right. God damn it.
But this is why it sucks that New Day are faces, man, because, I mean, theoretically speaking, it's a Money in the Bank. So why wouldn't Kofi and X just come in with the trombone and just beat the holy hell out of everybody and then let Big E climb to the top and get the briefcase?
Because we already saw shenanigans with helping somebody go to the top to get a briefcase with Ellsworth and Carmella, and I don't think they'll step on it. Just because it's kind of close.
Fair enough, but it's also a no disqualification match. They could conceivably come in and beat the hell out of everybody.
I'm not saying it's poor form. I'm just saying that people would complain that it's too similar, and then Twitter would be in an uproar.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So it takes three black guys to win the tag titles. Okay, cool. Next topic.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Always great to hear that.
Holds a record 11 consecutive title defenses.
The veteran.
Kazuchika Okada. Going for 12.
Oh! Beautiful dropkick by the champion.
History will be made in the IWGP Heavyweight Championship at Wrestling Dontaku.
Tanahashi's right up in his face. Oh, high fly. Oh! Oh, my God!
All new. New Japan Pro Wrestling. Friday on Access TV.
The theme's so nice, we played it twice. We're talking Chris Jericho once again here on Pod Is War.
You always go back to that line. You have like the same song for rock music or heavy metal.
Fair enough. And you have the same voice for black people, so we're even.
Whoa! That's you and white people. DPP, me, DeMarco, we all sound alike. I'm pretty sure you even had it be like a white woman sounded like DPP, DeMarco, and me.
Hate it.
Exactly.
Oh, here, let me give you a virtual hug. Oh
God, not this shit again. Get away from that camera.
You know, just bad.
You're back up, sir. Sir, you're a bit, you're a little too close to the vehicle, sir. Please back up.
You're blurry and I'm not drunk, so back up.
Back the fuck up.
I see you chugging Arizona iced tea. I'm surprised.
He's got a banana, too.
Yes. I need my potassium.
Are you on your period?
No, Austin Aries, just, you know.
Smells like
got
iron.
Yeah, you got a urinary tract infection, huh, boss?
Well, cranberry juice.
The wrong way. That's where that one went to. And I'm just like, oh, something got infected. So what was the question about Chris Jericho, Mr. Moderator, since we kind of stepped all over it?
Oh, I didn't even get to it. I could barely remember what it was. Oh, let's talk about Chris Jericho seemingly having loyalties to Vince McMahon inside the Continental United States.
Ah, I like the Continental. You put the nice on there. I like that one. So, this, I forget exactly where it was, but he did an interview a couple that released a couple days ago, which talked about why he's not at All In, why he's not at, you know, San Francisco Cow Palace show for New Japan, and why he didn't do Long Beach, and why he doesn't do the indie shows. And the indie shows was a money thing, because he talked about, you know, he's not going to do something for $50 and a slice of pizza because that hurts his brand. But when it came down to the New Japan stuff, he more or less said that he has still has a loyalty to Vince McMahon, and he doesn't mind doing stuff in Japan because WWE doesn't have a foothold in Japan. But if he did something in America to the size of All In or a New Japan show, he feels it would do Vince a disservice, and it would be, like, you know, irresponsible of him because Vince did so good for him and took so much good care of him. Plus, as he also said, that if he does anything, it's got to be a six-figure deal. So I don't really know what that's really saying. Like, if the money just wasn't good enough for All In, and he wouldn't have minded it if it was like $100,000 for an appearance. But regardless, it seems like it's loyalty to Vince for American shows, and indie shows are just not respecting who he is and the clout he has. What do you think about that one, Platt?
Well, I wouldn't say not respecting who he is or the clout he has. They just don't have the capabilities to show up with the bag.
Well,
that's what it sounds.
The offer.
Say it again.
Don't make the offer. You don't see the Phoenix Suns putting in an offer for LeBron. Like, they know better.
You know? Yeah, but you still got to shoot your shot because you never know. But yeah, they just don't have the bag to secure him.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. I'm surprised about the All In, and I'm not necessarily ruling that out. I think that's a big enough show. You know, it has enough cachet and clout at this particular point in time that I wouldn't be surprised if he made an appearance in some capacity. Because at the end of the day, you got to remember, Chris Jericho is a professional wrestler, and I say that with the utmost respect. So I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up there. As far as some of these other lower-rung indies, I get that. And I also understand him not wanting to kind of burn the Vince McMahon bridge, because it's only a matter of time before he comes back and does something in WWE. I mean, he was over in New Japan. That's overseas. It's the same reason they sent Hogan over there back in the day, even though he was in the WWF champion at the time, and he's sitting up there talking about the New Japan belt is the belt in the land that makes you the legitimate champion. So same thing. It's, you know, it's all the way across the pond overseas. So it doesn't really affect American television or American business. So I get that. But yeah, I whatever Chris Jericho does, I'm here for, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did show up. He might just be working, because again, he's a old school wrestler at heart. So all of this could just be a whole big ass work. You know what I mean?
I mean, it could be, and that's how his first two angles with Omega and Naito really went, because nobody knew he was showing up to, you know, jump Omega until like the day it happened. And then a couple months ago, he didn't he sent out a tweet that said something along the lines of, I'm done with New Japan, like, fuck that place or whatever. And then you see him, you know, put on the Bushi mask and jump Naito from the crowd. And then, haha, it's Jericho out of nowhere. So you're right. It is completely in his character to be disingenuous and work everybody, because that's how wrestling is. What's the saying of it's a work until it isn't? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, and I even go a step further. Even if it isn't a work, it's eventually going to be worked into the work, which makes it a work. Like, you know
what
I mean?
Like,
that's just what this is. Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Chris Jericho isn't going to show up at the VFW Hall in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. No disrespect, PC, for $50 and a can of beer. Like, that's not what's going to happen. This guy's an international star and one of the greatest of all time. So we get that. But I still hold out. Again, I don't know Fozzy's tour schedule, but I would be surprised if he doesn't make some sort of appearance at All In.
What if, because you just kind of brought up an interesting little caveat. What if Fozzy has an opening and...
In Sheboygan.
No. And I don't know how much you watch Lucha Whatever. Underground or I hate even... You. Or even Nitro from back in the day when they had Kiss and Megadeth and stuff like that on there.
Yes, the demon, yeah, of course.
What if Fozzy shows up to All In, but to play music in the beginning? So Jericho is technically on All In, but he's not wrestling. Fozzy is just doing a show.
Maybe. I don't see that happening, but maybe. You never know. If they show up with the bag, yeah.
Mr. Moderator, you don't seem like you like that one too much.
He won't be anywhere near All In.
No?
Nope. Is he going to be in Sheboygan? Is that what you know?
Well, I can't tell you what happens between me and Y2J.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Oh, jeez, I don't want to know what happens between you and Y2J.
I've got like what happened between me and Tanahashi at the hotel in Texas.
I've got stories, but I have to tell them offline. Like, I can't.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I do have stories.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. Do you realize that it takes 32 glasses of alkaline water to flush one soda out of your system? Don't drink soda, folks.
Dude, but, really?
But they rule.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
soda's yeah, rule. Really. Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
They rule, so you can't just not.
No, they don't rule. That's what I'm saying. Just
soda's rule. Yeah, they do.
He even has somebody validate it in the clip. How that yeah, it's on the
it
internet.
It was breaking news.
Fair so enough. When I live to be 100 and I'm coming to you, Melon Farmer's funerals.
I want you to walk right up to my casket. I want you to walk right up. I want you to walk right up to my casket, and you just say, "Man, he loved his porn."
Or you just go, "I never deleted your browser history."
That's what happens when you live the dream.
Yeah, baby. Yes. Let me stick my love into your funky emotions.
Okay, stop it. The song isn't playing. It doesn't work as well. It just gets creepy when you say it with that music. Stop it. This ain't Soul Train. You're not even close. Stop this.
We're moving on.
TheChairShot.com. Always. Use your head.
Baron Corbin. We got some new looks in the WWE, gentlemen, and a lack of topics this week. So let's discuss Samoa Joe.
You buried the lead right there, PC.
No, we didn't. That was the lead right there. That was beautiful.
Samoa Joe showing up with a nice clean cut look, I think, at an event for WWE, and then Baron Corbin getting rid of the skullet. Boy, oh boy, I think he looks a lot better. And how do you feel about his constable role? My goodness, we have a half of a Baron Corbin topic.
Well, first and foremost, let's get to Joe's cut. I absolutely hate it. And the reason I hate it is because he looks less ethnic with this haircut. I mean, he really, really, the cut looks like Corey Graves before Corey Graves decided to go all Justin Timberlake circa 1997 with his haircut. Like, really, Corey, what are you doing, man? So, yeah, I'm not a fan of Joe's look. As far as Baron goes, I'm glad he got rid of it because it was all bad, man. He was the reverse Shawn Michaels. Baron, you know what Baron's hair looks like? Baron Corbin's hair looked like Kane's mask because we all know that Kane is bald, but then he throws on his mask and he's got that weird frizzy, well, not even frizzy, but he's got that weird stringy hair that looks like a dirty mop. That's what Baron Corbin's actual hair looked like. So I'm glad that he shaved his head and just did away with it, man. Sometimes you just got to go home, man. Sometimes you just got to go home. But as far as his hair and his Constable Corbin, which that's kind of goofy, I'm glad they're doing something with him. Unlike our Commander-in-Chief here, Mr. DeMarco, I'm on record as saying that there's something there. When it comes to Baron Corbin, he's got something. I don't quite know what it is, but there's something there. So they're trying to pull it out of him, so I can't be mad at that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see where they go from here. Balls, what you think, man?
I think if he gains 50 pounds and gets $1 million, we'll know what it is that he had, huh?
What?
I'm wrapping it back around to your HIV joke. You said it, you dumbass.
Okay, I got you. My bad. I'm the slow one in the family. Fair enough.
I don't know. Drink more or drink less, but you're normally a little quicker than that.
You got a point. Fair enough.
Joe was weird because Joe always pulled off like weird looks in TNA, and it was hard to kind of take someone that looked like that seriously, just strictly by like the hairstyle or when he had that stupid paint on his face or whatever the hell that was when he went like the Isleism or the Nation of Violence or whatever the hell that gimmick was back in TNA. But he's Joe. Like, he could probably come in clown paint and a mask and a tutu, and he'd still beat the shit out of you, and it's not like you're going to think he's less of a man for it. So, I'll give him credit there, but it looks terrible. And at least Corbin finally looks presentable. You know? So, when it comes down to who won the remake, I guess it has to be Corbin. Because you can't do much worse than a receding hairline back to your earlobes and, you know, a ponytail. So, yeah, Corbin could only go up from there. Only up. And I figured you liked him anyway, PC, because it looks like you go to the same barber.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a point there. he does have a point.
I hate you.
Yes. Shout out to Super Clips. Ain't that right, PC?
Is it Great Clips or Super Clips out there?
I hate you.
Or is it Sport Clips? Because that's a thing too, right?
Is your personal razor set on zero?
I hate you.
He did the Pedro from Holy Dynamite. I just got hot.
I just got hot.
So, Balls, though, what do you think about the Constable Corbin gimmick? And where do you think they're going with this?
Oh, I guess they're trying to make him relevant without facing jobbers, perhaps? Because when he first came onto Raw, he was against No Way Jose for a couple weeks, and then he ran in on Curt Hawkins to make sure he got his 200th loss. Like, that's not exactly a good spot to be in. That's not a good look for anybody. So, it keeps him on TV. It keeps him kind of relevant, so good for him from a storyline perspective. As for where the gimmick may go, I don't know. I think he's just going to get progressively more corny until there's a blow-up between him and Kurt. Hopefully not a match between him and Kurt.
No. We don't need to see Kurt wrestle anymore.
I agree with you, but that's why I'm throwing it out there. Hopefully not that, but it may come down to, like, Kurt championing somebody to just, you know, beat the shit out of Corbin because he's out of control.
So maybe Kurt's black son comes in and beats up Corbin. But this is my thing with Corbin. I know most people don't see it, but I see something there. So I liken this back to The Miz. You remember WWE gave him chance after chance after chance. And it got to the point where the IWC was like, oh my God, why are they pushing The Miz? Stop pushing The Miz. He sucks. And now Miz is one of the best heels in the entire business. So I wouldn't give up on Corbin just yet. The ball thing, we'll see how it works out. It's very much better than his skullet, as you said. But let's see if they can pull out whatever it is that he has that I can't. It's an intangible. Like, I can't even put my finger on what it is that he has. He's got some sort of weird intangible that makes me think that this dude could be money. So let's just see where it goes.
I see what you're saying. I do, because I can kind of see that there's a possible upside for him. But my only argument to Corbin versus Miz, that analogy right there, is Corbin's a big guy. Big guys seem to have awkward ceilings, or they work or they don't work. And he's in a odd class where there's Braun, there's Cass, McIntyre. Even though he's technically not as tall as them, he's still imposing, and they still kind of bill him similarly. You got AOP, you've got the Bludgeon Brothers. From the fact that WWE was very small for the longest time, when you had champions like AJ and Kevin Owens is a little heavy, but he's not a big guy. And even Cena, he's, you know, muscular, but he's not tall stature-wise. Like, it's an interesting time for WWE to be transitioning kind of back to the big guys, the land of the giants, whatever you want to call it. And I think it's going to be Cass or Corbin that are going to end up probably getting the short end of the stick and getting ruled out and failing. And I can't really say that I see anything different between those two. They talk at about the same level. They look at about the same level, you know, physique-wise and all other stuff. So I don't see a discerning factor between the two.
Well, number one, Cena's like 6'2", 250, 260. That's not a small guy. That's an NFL linebacker. So, you know, there's that. Number two, if there's one thing that WWE knows how to do, it's build a big man. So, I mean, just going back throughout their history, and Vince has a hard-on for big guys. So, I can understand them not wanting to cut the plug with Corbin, and I wouldn't give it up on him as well. Like, I clearly have not given up on him. So, I have faith in them when it comes to their big men and their pushing of big men.
But then you have things like, what, Giant Gonzalez, Matt Morgan, and there's probably a few others. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. But there's been some big ones that have failed.
Matt Morgan wanted to go be a doctor. Giant Gonzalez was just a big melon farmer. He failed in two sports. He failed in basketball and professional wrestling. And Adam Bomb, hey, man, Chronic was over in WCW. You know that.
That's WCW. That's not WWE.
They still got over.
I mean, they did. They did. I'm not going to argue that. You know, Wrath was a good character, but Adam Bomb was not.
Well, Adam Bomb was a bomb. That's fair.
Correct.
Like, you just can't suck on a blow pop, a cherry blow pop, and come out with a red tongue and think that's going to get over with some goggles. Like, that's just not how the world works.
No, but apparently if you're 5 feet tall, blonde, and you suck on a raspberry blow pop and you come out with a blue tongue, that gets over. So Adam Bomb had the wrong color blow pop.
Well, there you go, man. Go blue instead of red.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Just like The Matrix all over again.
and who would Corbin be in The Matrix?
I don't know. One of the guys that dies.
Jesus Christ.
Baron Corbin sucks. Next question.
Yeah. You couldn't even give him a name. That's fucked up.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Has Raw become too much of a bore to get through?
You know, that crowd chant kind of gives it away, because yes, I don't see. That was fine, but I don't see any redeeming factors of the last few weeks of Raw. It's just, it keeps dragging on. There have been a couple matches that either start or end the show that have been somewhat entertaining. But just the whole 3-hour slog is just, I don't even know what it is anymore. It's just hard to watch. And it doesn't matter if it's Twitter or if it's other podcasts. Like, Going in Raw is a podcast that I listen to aside from stuff on Chairshot Radio Network. And those guys are more fans. It's Steven Larson from the Machinima Top Tens from a few years ago. And they're usually not so down on the product. They usually try to find the bright side. They usually try to take the fan perspective and, you know, pick at the good stuff instead of the bad. And even they just kind of, you know, begrudgingly cover Raw. And they're just like, yeah, this was painful this week. So when you've got more fan podcasts and you've got a lot of Twitter, IWC, that even the ones that aren't overly negative still kind of give you that whole, yeah, this is hard to get through, or, you know, you can sum up Raw in like 40 minutes because it was two matches and the rest you can ignore. That's a problem. Like, I don't really know what you could do to fix it, but right now it feels like it's very, very broken because most people don't complain about SmackDown or 205 Live or NXT or literally any other wrestling product on WWE as much as Raw. What do you think, Platt?
Listen, man, I'm not going to argue with you. Everything that you said was valid. But this is the thing. It's very hard to put on a consistently entertaining 3 hours worth of anything. That's just
That's what
it
she
is.
Said.
Exactly. I was actually going to go there. The only activity that I could do for a consecutive 3 hours is sex. And even then, we're going to have some breaks. I'm going to have to go get some Gatorade or some Red Bull. We're
going to sit and talk for a minute.
We're not going to consistently bang for 3 consecutive hours. Like, that's just not what's going to happen, especially, you know, at my age. But it's just hard. And they've painted themselves in a corner. But it's like I've been saying, I've said it on this podcast. I've said it on Chair Shot Radio. I've said it anywhere that I could possibly get on here and talk this shit. WWE is no longer a professional wrestling company. They are now a content provider. They have to provide UFC with 3 hours of content every week for 52 weeks. That's not easy. So, you know, could they do some things to make things better? Yes. But I'm not in a position to criticize them when they just got a bag from Fox News and they're going to get another bag from USA. I'm a glass half full type of guy. I'm not going to worry so much. Again, I understand you're not going to have 3 hours of gold every week. So I'm not going to so much concentrate on the bad. I'm going to concentrate on the good. And there is a lot of good, believe it or not. You got to mine through the gold, or you got to mine through the mud and the waters, and you will get pieces of gold here and there, man, with Raw. And my suggestion to you all that can't stomach an entire 3 hours of your life giving it to USA and Monday Night Raw, I suggest you watch the Hulu version. It flies by just like that, and, you know, they cut out a lot of the fluff. And or if you don't want to do that, just DVR it. DVR it, you can fast forward through a lot of the fluff, and you can get through it's easy to get through a Raw in an hour and a half.
I wish I could DVR it, but I've got the Raw Reaction podcast afterwards. I have to watch the whole thing. Now you see why this hurts me so much, is I can't even pretend to ignore it, because then I'll miss a point that we talk about. What about me, Platt? What about me? What about my plight? What about the people that write the show or, like, review the show, and be it video, text, or audio form, however? Like, this is torture.
Well, didn't nobody make you at gunpoint jump off a small porch to get aboard the Chairshot family? Like, you chose this life for yourself, and you suffered through that 3-hour show so the listeners don't have to. So they can come there and they can read Andrew Blaz's reactions. They can listen to Andrew Blaz talk about it. Like, you do this so that others that don't have the time don't have to. Like, that's the life you chose, Jack. Did nobody choose this for you? Did nobody make you jump off no small porch to do this, man?
You don't know how me and Greg met. It could have been a hustle. It could have been like a shakedown. You don't know.
I don't see the words Greg DeMarco and shakedown going in the same sentence. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I don't know. It sounds like a mafioso name. Can't you just see, like, Don DeMarco showing up, you know? You owe him some money. You got to go to like down to Antonio's Italian restaurant. You know, sit down with Don DeMarco, and you know you have to do this thing for him. You have to be on a podcast or two, and you have to write some stuff for him, or he's gonna break your legs. You don't
so
like
what
that?
It sounds like. So what it sounds like is Mr. DeMarco has some pictures of you that you don't want to get out.
Next question. Next question.
I'm just saying.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, and you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, people.
There will be a time, Mr. Bless. Well, I will come to you, and I will ask of you a favor. And you cannot refuse this favor, for I have also done you a favor. Do no 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 no
no no no no no no no no no no no. Legitimate fun fact in New Jersey, that is the music that ice cream trucks play in New Jersey.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm not even joking.
That's hilarious, man. Oh shit, that's the funniest thing I've heard all day. Are you serious?
I am legitimately 1,000% serious. Yes.
And the kids are like, ice cream, ice cream.
But I still affiliate it with ice cream because it's been that way for at least 20 years.
I'll have a chocolate horse's head on a stick.
So anytime you hear the Godfather, anytime the Godfather plays in your house, you hear doo 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 doo. You want a blow pop? You want a bomb pop?
Exactly. It's a Pavlovian thing. Every time I see Godfather, I have a thing of Ben and Jerry's next to me because I'm just like, I have to snack now.
Your mouth style plays for a bomb pop anytime you hear the Godfather music.
Andrew,
or a Choco Taco.
Andrew, you come to me asking a favor on the day of my podcast release. And it's a favor I cannot refuse.
Nice, Pop.
That was pretty good.
Don DeMarco.
All right. Let's get to the last topic. That was very entertaining, gentlemen. Let's listen up here, because my question will be asked by another.
Do we know this to be a fact, that Punk just cut off all his friends that still work there and said, well, fuck y'all, I ain't talking to y'all too just because you work there? Or is that just something being drummed up by the one guy?
The one guy being Corey Graves.
Well played. So for those of you that don't know, Saturday night after CM Punk got mollywopped in his USC fight versus Michael Jackson, Corey Graves sent out a barrage, I guess you would say, of Twitter messages. I wish we actually had them here so we can pull them up and read some of them to kind of give you guys some context, but I'm sure you guys have heard about this. Basically kind of calling CM Punk out for abandoning his friends that still work for WWE, and it really just sounded like he was butthurt because he hadn't heard from his friend in a while. Now, if that's the case on a human level, I understand that, Corey. I get that, man. That's fair. But in this situation, I hearken back to WrestleMania 31, which was in the Bay Area. I got an opportunity to hang out with Hillbilly Jim, which, cool dude, man, just a sweetheart of a guy. And it was funny. We were hanging out. Like, he literally sat down and was shooting shit with us and chopping it up with us outside of the WrestleCon event. And, you know, every now and again, random wrestler would just walk by and they would, you know, chop it up for a few minutes and catch up. For example, like a Road Warrior Animal, Devon Dudley, who's a sweetheart of a man. And there's some other ones as well that I can't remember off the top of my head. And eventually Kevin Sullivan came and was talking to him, and then he sat down right next to Jim. So now we're sitting up there hanging out with Kevin Sullivan and Hillbilly Jim during WrestleMania weekend. Like, how awesome is that? But I said all that to say that Jim said something very profound in our conversation. He was telling me how professional wrestlers, he said, I'm paraphrasing him here, but he said that professional wrestlers aren't really the type to keep in touch. Like, that's just not what it is. So, you know, he was legitimately happy to see some of these guys that he hadn't seen in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, because they just don't keep in touch. That's just what this is. And we can all relate to that. You know, it goes back to high school. Like, how many of your high school friends do you still keep in touch with? Even college. There's some guys in college that I still consider family that I haven't talked to in years. Or, you know, even on a job. You've been on a job with a guy or a woman, and you guys hit it off. You're super tight. You're super close. But then when you or he or she leaves the job, you don't really keep in touch with each other like that. Like, I kind of feel like that's what this is. I don't think it's that personal that they're making it. And I'm sure, you know, CM Punk is obviously an easy target because he's an asshole, and that's why I love him. But I don't see this as being personal. I feel like Corey is taking it personally, which, again, like I said at the beginning of this, I can understand you just miss your friend. And you're trying to reach out to him by any means you possibly can. Or you might just be drunk and venting. Whatever the case may be, I understand. But this happens all the time in life. You know, depending on our situations and circumstances, you get cool and you get tight with somebody. And then when your situation and circumstances change, you fall off. That's just called life.
You bring up a good point there. You do. But my argument could be made for Hillbilly Jim, Kevin Sullivan. A lot of the ones you named come from a different era. Like, how many interviews have you done, or how many podcast interviews have you listened to where slightly older wrestlers, like not even from that generation, let's just say Jericho, goes in the back, everybody's playing video games, everybody's, you know, like sharing their Xbox, you know, Xbox Live tags, and or their PS4 tags, or their friends on Twitter and Facebook. It's so much easier to keep in touch now. It's a more egregious slight if you get as close as Corey Graves and CM Punk did from Graves' tweets, because I'm pretty sure there was one that said something about how, you know, Punk was someone who held his kid like a couple minutes after he was born, and, you know, they've shared a lot of time together aside from just wrestling together and being cool on the road. Like, they actually did stuff together, kind of like, you know, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Like, I don't know where that relationship's at anymore, but that's just one that I immediately hearken back to in my head about how they were close for so many years. And it's that whole idea of, you know, they do family vacations together. The kids, you know, each other's kids call the other one uncle, and the wives are aunt. And, you know, you hit that closeness of family where they're family. It doesn't matter if there's blood or not, but you're that close. And I feel that that's Corey's contention, and it's hard to blame him on it, because much like you said, Punk's an asshole, but he gets to that petty, douchey kind of aspect a lot, where you know he'll just say something or he won't do something just to be a spiteful bitch. Like, he's got that very much in his personality and the way he comes off, and he's got that face that sometimes you just want to punch because there's something about his face and he just irritates you to look at. So I can't blame Corey for being upset that somebody he felt was an older brother is now saying, because you work for my former employer, fuck you. How many places did you used to work where you were cool with that guy or that girl, and then just because you moved on to different employment, you went, bro, because you still work for that place, I can't talk to you, I'm sorry.
That's fair, but it could also be, and if that's the case, that's fucked up, but it could also be a case of, well, Punk understands that he's still working under the E umbrella, and maybe he doesn't want to get him in trouble by associating with him. Like, that's I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not saying, sure, either side is right or wrong in this situation, because we're speculating off a couple of tweets, so we really don't know what the hell's going on. We just needed a fifth topic.
Oh, well, yeah, the only people that actually know what the fuck is going on are Corey Graves and CM Punk, but judging just basically off of what Corey says, it feels like he's just offended because Punk is using his job as a reason to not talk to him. And if that is the case, and it's not just Corey blowing it out of proportion because of a drunk rant or misinterpreting something, then that's kind of screwed up, because if you're that close, if you're that friendly, it don't matter if Vince McMahon's your boss or what, nothing's going to get back to him. Like, it's not like Vince McMahon has you turning your phone every time you show up to work to actually go through your tweets or your texts to make sure you're not texting, like, certain people that are blacklisted from WWE. You know what I mean? It's not the Thought Police that I think 1984.
That's fair, man. But, I you know, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. The guy that I considered to be my best friend up until recently, and, you know, we went to school together, I talked to him maybe four times a year. He sends me a happy birthday text. I send him a happy birthday text. And then there's two just random texts here and there, you know, depending on what's going on. Like, this just happens, man. You move on with your life and you have other things going on in your lives. Like, that's not, it's not personal. That's just kind of what happens in this thing called life. You move on and you do different things. And the thing is, from Corey's perspective, I can't be mad at him. He just misses his friend. I understand that. But I also have another friend that puts all of his business out there on social media and gets real, you know, sentimental on social media.
I hate
that. Yeah, exactly. And he gets mad at me because I call him out on that shit. It's like, dude, you can't just be putting all your emotions out there on social media, man. You got two little boys, man. They're going to think that fuckboy shit is, that's what it is. Like, that's cool. Like, you can't do that. And then he'll get mad and I won't speak to him for a couple of months. But blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. But that's how I feel about Corey's, man. Like, you could have kept that to yourself, bro. There was no need for you to come out and say that. You could have kept that to yourself.
So you think Corey might be that Facebook friend that you have that has that whole copy and paste this if I ever made you smile or if you really care about me or like, I know 98% of my friends won't do this, but copy and paste this if we're friends and tell me how we met or something like that. You think he's that kind of like attention seeking little bitch boy?
Most definitely. And there might have been some alcohol involved because I've made some bad decisions with alcohol as well. But yeah, that's exactly what I think. Like,
what,
again,
what's her name?
Yeah, that's funny. Too many to recall, balls. Too many to recall.
Ooh, nice answer. I like it.
Yeah, it's just that's the truth. yeah.
I get it.
But yeah, so yeah, I think that's where he's coming from. Like, again, I can't be mad at him because he misses his friend, but you don't put that shit out there and blast it out on social media. That's just not, as a man, that's just not how we handle things. Like, you reach out to the guy personally. If you can't get in touch with him or he declines or whatever the case it is, well, so be it. So now you have your answer. And then you keep it moving like an escalator. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. You're completely right.
And I mean, you know, this is the same thing with him and the whole Booker T situation, man. Corey kind of, you know, as they say in the business, he goes into business for himself, it appears. So this appears to be a similar situation. So, yeah, whether CM Punk is an asshole or not, yes, he is. But I'm looking at Corey Graves kind of funny style. I'm not going to lie. And it has nothing to do with his Justin Timberlake circa 1997 haircut.
See, I always think of him, every time I look at him, I think Max Headroom. I don't think, you know, Justin Timberlake. But The Booker T part you brought up was actually really good, because even Booker T said something along the lines of, like, if he met him in an airport or a back alley, he's like, he's got no neck, so like a strong breeze could kill the guy, so he doesn't know why he runs his mouth so much. So you would really think, if you're a sensitive flower like that, why the fuck would you let your mouth cash checks that nobody you know could ever, you know, cash back, you know, what you know.
Max Headroom, that's funny. I could see. I could see that.
Max Headroom.
I could see that. But yeah, come on, Corey, man. Pull your skirt down, bro. That's what I was saying. Pull your skirt down.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Anywho, man, you have any other thoughts on this situation?
Not really. It was a solid number five to end on, since, you know, we did the late show last week, so that kind of bit into a couple topics we could have used for this week, but we got through it. We're good. I'm okay with how this worked. How about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I'm
Is that what we're doing? Are we self-reviewing the shows at the end now?
Nobody asked you to say anything
that last week, so maybe hey. We're just coming up with different gimmicks. Hey, fuck off.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm still not a fan of Corey Graves and his Frosted Flakes hairstyle. Like, you know, you're not Tony the Tiger. You're not great.
No, he ain't. He ain't even close.
I like him as a commentator. I do.
I'm sick of him.
Really?
It's just a different pop culture reference, and then he acts like a douchebag the entire time. And he cuts people. Like, it's hard to just get into that, really. Like, especially over both shows for 5 hours a week.
Okay.
Like,
and that's my problem with Ronaldo. I can't even say the Miller Farmer's name, but Ronaldo. Y'all know. Thank you. That's my problem with him, man. He tries to force those pop culture references on us. Like, he's trying to be Stuart Scott so bad, and it just doesn't work. Because it's like, Mamma Mia, he's beating that man like Pusha T beat Drake in the rap battle. Like, it just doesn't
the
fit.
Best thing is it comes off like your dad trying to relate to you and, like, just coming in using slang like, yo, son, how about them fat stacks over there? It's like, what? It's not 95. No one talks like that anymore. And you're talking about money. Shut up. That doesn't make any sense. So
at least it's lit, ladies and gentlemen, at Full Sail. Like, no, Marlo.
We're all too old to use
lit. I thought
it
Marlo. That's his name now, Marlo. It's not Marlo. It's not
Marlo.
Lit.
Yeah, no, but no, Mauro's good for like the dad joke kind of level, but even his level of enthusiasm gets fake to me too easily, because there was that whole meme or gif of him freaking out to whatever Takeover New Orleans or whatever it was, or maybe it was Philly, and he's just like jumping up and down, knocking his chair over with the Mamma Mia's and the la 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 la, and it's like, yeah. It's like, okay, you're excited. You're pretending to be excited to get other people excited. You're doing your job. I get it, but calm the fuck down.
Yeah, relax. I will give him props, though. He did a really good job during the Mayweather-McGregor fight because he made it seem like McGregor was actually doing something. So you know what I mean? So I give him props for that. That was a good call, but yeah, he's a little bit much for me.
Hey, he's a good boxing UFC kind of announcer, but his wrestling is kind of hit or miss, and I feel like it's because it depends on who his second is. Like when he was doing Access TV with Josh Barnett, Barnett's good because Barnett's kind of he's good play-by-play because he knows all the technical moves because he's a UFC fighter himself or mixed martial artist, whatever you want to call it. And then Barnett also lays in like random like anime like dorky kind of things because he likes anime and video games. So then when Mauro Ranallo is making like 30-year-old references, then Josh Barnett's the relatable play-by-play guy. So they played off of each other well. But I don't think he has a lot of support in NXT right now, because what is it? Who is it down in NXT right now?
I know it's McGinnis, and was it Percy Watson?
Is it still him? Okay, maybe. It might be. Because I know McGinnis moved up to 205 Live. I wasn't sure if he was still doing NXT.
And yeah, as far as I know, and I don't keep up with the NXT product as I should, but last I heard it, you know, or last I knew, rather, it was what did I call him? Marlo. And it was Marlo and Nigel McGuinness and Percy Watson as the obligatory black guy, because apparently that's what WWE wants to do.
They always need one, you know what I mean? So,
and then
McGuinness is the dry British guy because, oh my God, he can't. He gets excited for nothing. He has the same voice and the same reaction to everything. It's just, oh my God, did you see him pull off that amazing 450 splash? Really? That's what we're going with? Yes, it was fantastic. I can't tell.
I like McGinnis, though. I don't know if maybe it's the British accent. It just makes everything sound more official. But I dig McGinnis.
Sure, it does sound more official. I'll give you that one. So you also loved Lord Albert Hayes, too, didn't you?
I did. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, that's different. Maybe we should end the show on that confession.
Hey, man, before we get out of here, man, shout out to Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. I think they have the capacity and the ability to steal the show this weekend. And that has the ability to be the best match that we see all weekend. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Velveteen Dream. Hit it.
Let me let you get your boots. Black and and let me wow your I feel sexy. Boss, let the good folks know what you try.
Oh, that is such a good theme, though. It's so smooth and sexy. It's nice. But I guess you can find me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief, or throw an email at me at AndrewBelez@thechairshot.com for whatever reasons, inquiries on writing, commentaries on shows, desires to do commentary on a show. Who knows? I don't know. What the fuck? You know, make it interesting. Talk to me. Make something happen. Mr. PC Tunney, are you still within shouting distance so we can skip you, or are you somewhere else today?
You can find me where sports meets entertainment.
You can find him on the farm skinning possum.
You can find me
in West Virginia.
Never late for dinner. You know why I wear two pair of pants when I go golfing?
Why?
In case I get a hole in one.
Hey! Okay, but save
this. Delete! Delete!
Sad tromboning myself. Last.
Come on, let's go.
Fair enough. That's a good song, by the way. Hey, man, you guys can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat. You can find all of us and a lot of other great content at ChairShot Radio Network, also on TheChairShot.com. We are, quite frankly, I don't even know what the hell happened outside. I just saw a big boom, and it scared the holy hell out of me. But you can find us at
TheChairShot.com. What do you think it was? Go to the window. No, P, we can't. Yeah, go find out what it was and come back. We'll talk about ourselves.
Okay, fair enough. I'll be right back.
I honestly don't.
Chair Shot Network. Yeah, Flat went off to go find out what happened. It sounded like a gunshot, didn't it?
I don't know what it was. I thought you were playing another sound clip or something like that. I'm like,
here, I got something we can do. Let's go to Tony Schiavone for the month of June's top three MLW championship contenders.
Number three is presented by Promociones Del Rado. It's the Lucha Libre Daredevil, Rey Fénix, and his brother in Zelina De Laurentiis Cabal, the Dangerous Pentagon Jr. is number two. The number one contender to the MLW World Heavyweight Champion is the leader of Team Filthy. It's UFC fighter Filthy Tom Lawler. All these men vying for one thing, Shane Swerve Strickland's MLW World Heavyweight Championship.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So apparently that was just some loud-ass thunder. I don't see any debris or damage, but I'm just going to throw this out there in case I'm not here next week. I just want you all to know that I love you all. Thank you. I've had a great time on this show. And leave all my worldly possessions to my nieces and nephews. Divide them up amongst them.
You still have to cover MLW for the chair shot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I die, you asshole, I'm not going to be able to cover it, okay?
I'll tell you what.
Well, then you better cover that in your will and make one of those nieces or nephews log on to your shit and cover MLW.
Yes, just so you know, your responsibilities transcend the family line. Or descend down the family line, I should say.
Seeing as how Chairshot Steven hasn't sent me my congratulatory shirt that I won through our bet about the bronze bake in the finals, I'm going to make him cover it if I somehow die this evening.
Okay, that works.
So let this be my last will and testament.
Okay, then I'll just make sure he listens. Tony, you're going to have to tag him directly just to make sure he listens to the last couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
Again, man, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and apparently contribute to my memorial fund, which is also buy some of the chair shot merchandise.
I just had a tree fall. We can make a casket out of that. That's fine. It'll be cheap.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I just want y'all all to sit around, listen to some good music, eat some good food, and talk shit and give your best Christopher Platt stories. That's all I want.
And we went from you being 100 talking shit at our caskets to you dying like next week.
Hey man, y'all heard that sound, man? Hey man, tomorrow is not promised, Jack. Y'all heard that?
That's how life works.
It sounded like a gunshot or a car backfiring or a tire exploding when I heard it.
That's initially what I thought it was. I thought it was like some car crashed into something, but no, that was just some loud ass thunder.
Yeah. Huh. God's bowling, he just got a strike.
Anywho,
hi.
For the Commissioner PC Tutty, for my partner in crime, Andrew, don't call me Snowflake Balls Belaz. I'm Christopher Platt, possibly reporting for the last time. If that's the case. It's been real.
Yeah, this Melon Farmer's probably going to say he's going to transition or something.
Hit it, Curly.
He walked out of our lives.
He walked in. I walked out on the porch. I got
just got fucking shot.
In the glass door, then the thunder went down. Then I got struck by the lightning. Struck by the lightning, and so
you're so lame.
I want my funeral to be about me. Yes, I. Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for Christopher Platt's replacement.
Oh, don't worry, we're gonna fly you to the Beautiful House.
I shouldn't play this song because if you know what the actual title is, we'll finish with something light.
It's been real, y'all.